Inside, you can read the start with here. Luke chapter 5, and it came to pass that as the people pressed the time to hear the word of God, he, the Lord Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would press out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So we see here the Lord is walking by, and he saw two ships out on the water there, and the fishermen were out of the ship. They were walking them up after we'll see a little down here after a night worth of fishing, and which was unfruitful. They hadn't caught anything, but the Lord went, and he entered in one of the ships, and happened to be Simon's ship. And he prayed him to, Simon, can you just sit a little back there in the water? So, and you can imagine a lot of people, fishermen that were tired of the night, basically probably disturbed because they hadn't caught anything, and that was their living. And it looked like there was a lot of people around that were following Jesus. So they were on the shore, and Jesus was a little bit far away in the ship there on the water, and he started teaching. And therefore, now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, run out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You ever feel like Master, we're exhausted already and we've worked our time here, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And here we have a man that made a decision. And he could have said, well, you know what he's talking about? You're not even a fisherman. From what I can tell, maybe it looks like you're talking to. So what do you want there? Let me alone. Leave me alone. I'm tired. I have to go see my family and my associates who are tired, and we're not spending more time over there. But for some reason, Simon listened. I'm not sure what he saw in Jesus. Seems to me that it was the first time he met him, maybe he heard about him. But he decided to, for a moment, just to listen and to do it. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Wow. Simon listened, and suddenly he thought, sure, not only that, but the net were breaking. And they beckoned, verse 7, unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink more than they can handle. All of a sudden, Simon here decided to listen to Jesus, and they had more that they could bargain for. And, we see here basically that's the wealth of the world. And it's like, I just started their business, and Cynthia was very happy because if you have a business and suddenly you put in a lot of work and nothing comes, those of us that work for ourselves, we have our own business or our own sales, you don't sell, you don't make any money. And it can be very discouraging. And but Simon listened, and somehow they got a lot of fish. That means a lot of blessings. Temple blessings. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He saw something in the Lord right there, and he saw something of himself too. Right there, he saw that he was a sinner. That's what he says right there. I am a sinner. No doubt that Simon, being a Jew, obviously, he knew about the Word of God. He must have gone to the synagogue, most likely at Jerusalem, for the feast. And, but as many of us, we just go about our lives. Before I was saved, I knew I was a sinner. I could look at my life and it was completely deserted. I knew I was a sinner. when I was going out with my friends partying and working, and I was working, and what I wanted was basically finish my day so I could go out party with my friends and have fun and do whatever I wanted to do. I knew I was a sinner. But it came a time where Jesus approached me. In fact, he approached me many times, and you know, you realize that after the fact, you push him away. You know? I remember hitchhiking, and I didn't have a car, and back in those days, I wasn't working too much, and whatever I made, I spent on drugs and whatever, so I said, why would I spend money on a car when I can buy some drugs, have some fun, and hitchhike and go wherever I want? And I remember one day, leather jacket on, you know, long hair, about back in the bottom of my back here. Hitchhiking, this guy stops, and I get in the car. And so where do you want to go? Well, going over here, flip on my car, drive you. And, you know, I'm cool, you know, long hair, leather jacket. And he had a Bible on the back of his car. And I said to him, I said, oh, I see you have a Bible. I read the Bible too. And I did. I was really reading the Bible. I was brought up Catholic. I went to church every Sunday, and I read the Bible. But more than that, I knew I was a sinner, but I knew there was something about this book, and I was reading the Bible for real. I was really reading it to find something in it. So I'm cool. Hey, you have a Bible? That's good. I have one too. I read it. And the guy started preaching. I don't remember a single word he said to this guy, not a word. All I remember is that when he stopped, he was on the highway, like there was an exit there, and I used to go in and stop him. He said, if you don't mind, I'd like to pray with you before you leave. And he grabbed my wrist, and now the conflict started. The enemy within me was saying, what are you doing? Look at him. Tell him what happened. Well, maybe he wants to do something with you or whatever. And I thought he was real fast. And then I had this peace. I said, well, what's wrong? He had my wrist and he prayed and he moved over the door and then I went. And it could go on, you know. I was saying, I don't know, maybe 4 years after that. And here's just a sign, you know. Well, as an unsaved person, we have opportunities where the Lord comes in and he speaks to us and he shows us things and we have a decision to make. Sometimes the time is not right and he sends guides to guide us. I remember another day, sorry if I speak a lot about my experience, but that's the only thing I know about preaching the gospel, because what happened to me, so this is how it happened to me, but working in construction, up on a big wall, I was installing rebar. The wall must have been, I don't know, 25 foot tall. I was working with this guy, and cool, long hair, smoking. I was in the New Age big time at that time. Shirley MacLaine, you know, a Christ in you, you know, we're God, you know. We're just working towards being more God, better God. And I started preaching the gospel to him, the New Age gospel. And I was going on and on about how mankind is achieved, you know, such level of technology, you know, and the space shuttle at that time, you know, they're going to be in space and they're going to go to the planet. And I was trying to work and I kept kind of working. That guy stopped working. All he was doing was, it's almost like now I know, there was a shield of faith. I could almost hear him. Like resisting everything I'm throwing at him, because I was the enemy. Really, I was. But he recalled all that, and he preached me the gospel, everything I said. And he was pretty good, because he had resisted for everything. And he refuted everything I said. And well, the day went over, and I went, and I partied, and whatever. But it kept in the back of my mind, and now I see it. The Lord placed signposts on my road. And I would run into one guy and shift into a different direction. Run into another person, shift into another direction. Up until I came to a place where, in Zenonville, I was at the college there and really at the end of my life. I've completely ordered my life, and we'll see some of these people here. That's where they are. I know that Peter was at the end of his rope there. He knows what had happened before that. Maybe he was completely broke, and another night more so. What am I going to do? But when you're at the end of the rope, that's a good thing. That's where you want to be. Or at least that's where you want to realize that you are. And then the word comes, and for one instance, now you can really appreciate and make a decision for him. But for me, at the college, I remember completely at the end of myself. I was broke. I was hooked on cocaine. And I walked in that atrium there, and there's a table of literature, and there's a guy behind it. And he was Christian. And I was walking by, and inside me, I was laughing at him. Oh, look, this idiot, you know, probably he's doing his witness, he's probably this and that. Walking by, I looked really, like, really mean in my heart. But as soon as I walked in front of that table, I felt pushed towards the table. Almost stumbling towards the table. And there he was, and the first thing I saw was the plan of God in history, this map with the past eternity, the eternal state, the cross right in the middle, and I knew it meant the cross of Jesus, and this better, these betters like this, with the different sections. And, oh wow, this is cool. I said, hey, where's here? And he was really surprised because I pointed where it said rapture. He said, well, what do you mean? Well, he's going to be rapture really soon. And I was, when the government's coming in, you know, everybody's going to be marked with a ship, you know, the Antichrist, and, you know, I'm sure I'm going to refuse that, because there's going to be a rapture. And he started preaching me the gospel. To this day, I don't remember a single word he said. The only thing I remember is I said to him, I said, it seems to me that I have to do something. And he kept saying, no. I gotta do something. First, I gotta sell everything, and I'm sorry. I'm gonna go somewhere and do something. And no. He gave me his name and his phone number and went on my way. And, you know, I had a lot of friends that were heavily involved in the New Age. Some of them I know that I was possessed, no doubt, as I was. But I started to see a real conflict because I wanted the truth. I was searching for something, and my friends, so-called friends, they were hindering me from that. And I could see that. You know, just now I can look back, the Spirit was showing me these things. But the way I was at the end of my rope, I remember, as a matter of fact, Bible on the table, case of beer under the table, a bag of soap, some drink, and I was looking all over the place, and I was trying to read something that was telling me what to do. And I'm telling you, that night I went to hell. When you know that you are the end of the rope, you need to be saved. You know you need somebody to show you where to go. And I remember that phone number. So I called him. I said, "What's going on?" He's like, "No, I think I'd like to meet you there. You know what you're talking about?" And I said, "Yeah, I said, okay, so we'll meet Sunday morning." He says, "You go to church?" "Yeah." "We meet in the home at 51 some time, I'll meet you." So I was ready. But the night before it was one of the worst nights as far as, and I'm not even talking about partying or having friends, I was alone. There's no friends around me then. No friends. And that Sunday morning, I showed up there, long hair. I wasn't cool anymore. That was gone. Everything was gone. And we'll see some of the characters here if I can finish this way. But when I sat down and I saw these believers, Sunday morning, praising the Lord, reading scriptures, singing hymns, breaking the bread, taking the cup, I like to think of that. Wow, look at the picture. Because I read the Bible, I read that. We're meeting in homes, drinking, taking the cup, and the glass. Wow, this is amazing. But then it took, I don't know, 2 hours maybe of preaching by that man, who was the pastor of that assembly, that church. To finally being able to utter a feeble, save me. A thought, all I said, save me. Barely, I don't know if anybody heard it, but as soon as I uttered these words, heaven fell. Light, all I could see was light. I felt light in the sense of weight, completely weightless, full of light, and everybody was happy. I was crying, and yeah, I met Jesus. And you see Peter there. What did he say? Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. But Jesus knew. I told that to the Lord before too. He knew these nights before that Sunday morning. Another in my bed, like I had to drink myself to sleep because I couldn't sleep. I was so tormented. So my life was all night, and finally went to sleep maybe at 6, 7 in the morning, sleep all day, get up at 4, completely upside down. Remember that night, sleeping, I was trying to sleep in my bed, and I wanted to pray to Jesus, because I knew he was with him. And I could hear his voice. I wasn't even sure I could hear the voice. Because the Lord calls us by our name. Even if you have a nickname, the Lord calls you by your real name. Yes, you know, please, come to me. And as soon as I wanted to call his name, I would go, shut up! What are you doing? Don't do that! The enemy was right there, and I could see them hover around me. Demons. They were right there. And I was tormented. But that Sunday morning, I was delivered completely. I had stomach spasms for 3 days. Complete deliverance. But the enemy will do that. Some will come with in a way that's very hard, and we'll see this. Peter made a decision. And at the end it says here, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And Jesus had a mission for him right away. Don't worry. You'll be catching men. And it says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They left everything. They stayed there. I mean, they must have been at the end of their life. There's no way I can explain. Well, in their lives, and Peter and his partners in business was sitting pretty bad. But they followed the Lord. They were often followed, and if you read the scriptures, we know what happened to Peter and how he followed the Lord and how he loved the Lord. But we continue here. This way, when it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, like Jesus, behold a man full of leprosy. He seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, the star was sacrificed to make me clean. You can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thy clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. That wasn't me. My salvation wasn't like that. But I've met people like that. He preached the gospel to them. He presents Jesus and they say, you know what? Yeah, I want to be saved. And you say, well, repeat after me. I'll say a prayer. You pray with me, you believe in your heart, and you will be saved. And the person says, and it's saying, you can see a difference in their face. They somehow they realize they need a savior, they need to be saved. Lord, save me. I will be saved. Wow. See how different that is. And he said, but he tells him, tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for so that cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So what wanted that person to just Of course, they're ranging from going to family, keep doing what you're doing, go to the temple, and present the sacrifice and be a testimony. Wow. That's what we're supposed to do, to be a testimony. To show that there's something different about us now, that there's a change. All these people here, they met the Lord, they were at a different point in their life. They made a decision that it was a change. And that's what can be seen from others, by others. Here's a man here that was the end of his life. Completely discouraged, I would imagine. Verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors that we are sitting by, which were come out of every kind of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was struggling to heal them. You know, the Lord's fame was going abroad that he could heal. That's, we read that in the scriptures. And people were flocking, those that needed to be healed. If you're sick, there's a lot of sick people that were handicapped, physically and mentally, people that needed help, people that knew right away that they weren't like most other people. Physically, people could see that. You know, you're sick, you're handicapped, people can see that, and they already judge you, whether you are or not. You don't see that. And the son was going abroad that he could heal the sick. And people were flocking. Verse 18, and behold, man brought in a bed, a man which was shaken with the palsy. I believe he was paralyzed. Now, I don't know about you, but I've thought about that sometimes, like, if I was sick, you know, what would be worse? Like if I was blind, if I was maimed, or being paralyzed. You know, you see, remember Christopher Reeve laughing and he was paralyzed, and Kelly Fleeve, you see him in his chair, or Stephen Hawking, the renowned physicist in his wheelchair, paralyzed. And you look at him and right away you drop him. You know, you look at him and you think, man, how could I bear that? That would be awful. But that was this man here. He was paralyzed in the bed. And you had people that cared for him, obviously. So they brought him along, and they took care of bringing him down right to the ceiling, to the roof. They couldn't bring him. And somehow there was a bit of faith here. Right? You heard about this Jesus, so I'm going to go and see what happens. And if I can, or maybe if I father, sister, mother, whatever. Most likely was. Unless you have a really close friend. And they brought him. Verse 19. And when they could not find by what way, that's what it says, they brought him from the house up. Verse 20, and when he, Jesus, saw their face, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Right away. Because he knew there was a point of no return. That man coming in that way, that was it. He was going to get saved. For him, he was at the end of his life from the very beginning. There was no way he was getting saved. And the Lord saw him, the sins are forgiven, and also he said it most likely as a testimony to everybody that was listening. Obviously, the scribes and Pharisees right there, verse 21, the reason, you know, how can you do that? But the Lord knew that, you know, what's easier to say, verse 22? What is easier to say? Like, things are forgiven me? To say, rise up and walk. And it's the same for us. Even as unbelievers, we're very judgmental. And, you know, what's the easiest thing to say? You think that to say, rise up and walk into your first world, please, it could be much more difficult. But I can't do that. With the power of God, maybe I can, if you leave me to do it. No doubt. But as a mentally man, much easier to forgive. And yet, was I able to forgive myself? Was I able to forgive God before I was saved? You really dig down to it. If you're not saved, you can't forgive. There's something that's holding you back. but they were evil there. But the Lord said, look, honestly, it's much easier to forgive. But the Lord said, verse 24, but you may know that the Son of Man has power upon us to forgive sins. And he said unto the spirit of the Pharisee, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine home. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that where he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And we were all amazed. And here's the testimony. That man became a testimony to Jesus. How many more people heard that and saw? Obviously, you could not deny that he was saved. He could walk. How many more people decided to go, no, I'm going to go see what that man said? And hopefully tonight, that's what's happening. Whatever I bring is to encourage people to see, you know what, I want to know more about Jesus, whether saved or unsaved. If I'm at the bottom of my rope, at the end of my rope, at the bottom of the rope, there's Jesus right there, ready to help. And once again, whether I'm a believer now or whether I'm not. Here's another man here that had most likely a lot of faith. But his name is Matthew, verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw publicans named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. Wow, that's even easier than what we read before. Here's a guy, a publican. He would be a traitor, really. He was a Jew that he worked for the Romans. He's collecting taxes. You know, we say that today, even I say that today when I get my paycheck and I see how much the government steals from me. It's ridiculous. But that's the way it is. You know, we see in the gospel, Jesus gets a piece of money and there's the faith of Caesar. So give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give God what is God's. And here you are, this man. He must have been at the end of his life too. How would you like to be seen as a traitor? Because in those days, that's what he was. Regarded as a traitor. A Jew, of all Jews, working for the Romans, taking money. I don't know if he had a lot of friends, but he must have been at the end of his life too. Maybe more than anybody who's read before. For him, it was the Lord came and he said, follow me. He got up and he just went. I mean, that's amazing. You just think about it and try to figure out who he was, where he was, and how he saw Jesus. And we could be here for days trying to figure it out. And maybe in ourselves trying to find that little Matthew that would just tempt us to get up and follow him when he calls us. For an unbeliever, that's a little bit different, but then again, it depends where you are. And then you continue. And we have a little bit of teaching here. Because the Pharisees knew the law, and they thought they knew Jesus. That wasn't really my case. I was a dejected. I was really at the end of the ladder, a drug addict and everything. But there's a lot of people out there that go to church. I've met a lot of people that go to church, and you talk to them about the Lord, and they don't listen. And you think that they go to church and they read the Bible, and it could be anywhere, it could be any place, it doesn't matter. And any place where they have a church to read, to hear the Word, they hear the Word of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And yet, to talk to them about the Lord, and they even refuse it. They refuse to receive Him. And we have these people here, the Pharisees and the scribes, murmured against His disciples, saying, and then they find fault, whatever it is. Well, you guys, well, I've heard that so many times. Huh? Well, you guys, you know, you go to church like 5 times a week. If you think I'm going to, you know, follow your Jesus and go to your church and go to, I have enough of my 20 minutes a week, or I have enough of watching what everyone's eating. Anything they can find, they will buy. But Jesus says to them, so, you know, verse 31, they are a whole. We not a physician, but they were all sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And there are many people out there that think they're good enough, or they say, I'll just be on my own. And we've all heard that, the works of man, and I'll just work it out. But that's just not good enough. And Jesus makes it clear. He says, if you're whole, you don't need a physician, so really, you don't need me. So why do you bother harassing my disciples and harassing me? If you're already whole, you already know that you don't need a physician, so leave me alone. He didn't say that, but that would be a Pharisee's way of seeing it. Normally, as a human being, you would think like that, like, you took your righteous, just leave me alone. Why do you bother me? But really, the Lord says, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Well, you are a sinner. We are sinners. And then they bring more charges in verse 32. And the Lord brings in the mystery. And I won't go into that too much now, but the mystery is that if we receive Jesus, there's a change and you become a new creature, a new creation. And you have something special for us. Individually, then you have something special for all of us that believe. It's like a new family. It's like something new. I forget the things of our past. I know in my life, I couldn't wait to get something new. And I was really happy to see my new friends. When the day I got saved, and then we keep, like, the day I got saved, I lost all my friends. Like, literally, all of them. I was in music. I had a band. Actually, I was a musical director of a 13-piece band, and we were stopped practicing for a 2-hour concert. And I was somebody, and I was doing some jobs at CBC. I had opportunities to write music for big productions. And my life was going somewhere, so to speak, but I knew my life was going nowhere. And the day I got saved, I lost all my friends. And the amazing thing is, I was tormented a little bit there. Even after I was saved, I was, because I still had my life, and my life was still continuing. I still had my music practices. Obviously, I wasn't doing drugs anymore. I had no friends to hang around with except my new friends, my new Christian friends. But you still have a job to go to. And I went to that first practice, got on stage, and there was like a big rehearsal. We had the whole system set up, and I gave the cue, started the first song, and I didn't feel good. I didn't feel the way I felt before. Before I was amazing. My musicians were great. We sounded really good, and there was a few songs that I really liked. One of the songs was called "Possessed." Just say that. And that song, some of the words were possessed. All the things of hell lost my soul to be possessed. And that was my favorite song. I mean, that song rocked. And I was on stage there, and you'd say, this is what I'm doing my practice. And we played that song, and I was a musician that I played. So all I did was I had a keyboard, and I kind of supported the musicians, and I had some quotes to try and connect it. We were on the fence. I really liked the song, and every time I was playing, it was like I was dying inside. And I felt sick, and I was like, man, I can't do this anymore, it's ridiculous. And I finished the practice, I went home, and the phone rang, and it was the pastor of that little family. Well, how are you doing? Well, I met you sick. And he knew exactly what I was going through. And he was talking to me, and he said, no, just wait, I'm coming over. He came over, he came with me, and he prayed with me. It's a real brother, and for some reason, I don't know, he knew what I was going through. And I was really encouraged, and he left. And the Lord told me a verse, I couldn't find it now, but he put me on the spot. But the verse basically said, there's a man that came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, I follow you, right away I follow you, but just leave me going down with my father, and now I come and follow you. Jesus saying, leave the dead, bury their dead, you follow me. He was a good father. Just give me like a day, I'm going to go and bury my father and follow you. Let the dead bury their dead, you follow me. And then he's going to say to him, no, no, just let me do that one stroke. Okay, let's make it stop. Just let me just do that one, and then follow you. I was saying that, and then he showed me that verse. Oh, yes. I know, I understand, Lord. I can't do it. I got to quit everything. I have no choice. That is why. Grab the phone, call the singer there. And you know, I'd be all around saying, I can't do the same. Yeah. Oh, man. The fire of hell is on me and family. But I have to do it. And you can't be tight here. You know, you get out of your eyes here. You might need to go the way you're doing. You have one more crisis. You're playing too much. You can't do this. You can't do this. I trusted the Lord and I did it. And then she calls me back, leaves me a message, a nasty message. She killed my whole back. Then she calls back, leaves another message. She says, well, you know what? I thought today here, there's another musician. Better than you can't see. Much better piano. I thought today, and he's going to do his job, but you're going to have to sit down with him and go through the whole two sets with him because, you know, obviously he needs. So I said, okay, so I called the back, so I'll do it. I'll sit down with Dave and everything. Got my keyboard because the sounds were all set up. And I basically told him what to do, and here's the stuff. And I went on following Jesus. And I heard after the fact that they did the show, and it didn't sound as well. It wasn't as good as when I was there before, I would say. Not because I was better than everybody else, because I was possessed. Yeah? I was really possessed. And the demons that were with me, they had powers. I'm telling you, I could contain some real cool stuff. And I was able to do real cool stuff. But it wasn't the power of God. I mean, I can do amazing stuff now. I could tell you things that, when I couldn't do anything. Things happen. Now that's power. When you can't do a single thing, and you take a step back and you say, Lord, that's it. You do it. Things get done. And then that's power. That is power. Except Moses right there. Behold the salvation of the Lord. What did he do? Nothing. He didn't do anything. All he said was, behold the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord, he did it all. So that's what the Lord is. That's who the Lord is. So for all of us, it's going to start somewhere. In my life, in your life, it's going to start somewhere. It's going to start where you make a step saying, I believe in you, Lord. I just want to follow you. It's just entering to a call like these people are doing here. And I just want to end with this here. The end of that chapter, it explains what happens basically when somebody gets saved. When somebody passes from the old to the new. Verse 36. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise than both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And then we have verse 37. And no man again putteth new wine in old bottles, as the new one will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. There's got to be a separation here. And this is what I'm saying. When the Lord calls you, you need to leave something behind. Whether you're saved or unsaved, if you're unsaved, when you make that call, you have to realize that your old life is left behind. Everything is new now. And hopefully that if you're at that point, you realize that you're at the end of the road. That you can't do anything anymore, and then you have to open the door and let Jesus in. And when he dies, you let the old pass away and accept and go on with the new. And the new is amazing because what happens with the new? It grows old, so to speak. With the Lord, with the new is always new because it's eternal. He gives us eternal life. But we grow with him. with growth. We have to bear everlasting life and eternal life. It grows in that quality that's forever. So the new never gets old, although the new grows older, so to speak. It's kind of a, you know, one of God's name is the Ancient of Old. He's eternal, but he's the Ancient of Old. But we see here that, yeah, this is no man also having drunk old wine, fit with desires for new. For he says the old is better. And it could be a little bit different way here, but, you know, before you get to new, you're part of the old. And I understand it's difficult to get rid of the old, and the Lord knows too. You know, nobody's straight with it. Get rid of everything. But as a person that makes a step and believes in the Lord and takes that step in that commitment, suddenly everything gets new, the old is moved aside, but there's a process of elimination. You grow little by little, we drop things. And we head back to this, where, you know, Paul tells Timothy to continue on and to learn and to grow. So as a new believer, the Lord says, you know, and we have that way, just go back to your family, you do what you're doing, unless it's like me, like doing drugs and all that, but, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, go back to your job, go back to your family, and I'll show you, just stay with me, and I'll show you what you need. Not so much get rid of, but what I want to, I'll give you things to replace, something better. And definitely, I believe that's a little bit of a thought here. No man's gateway, just a little bit old, but little by little, the Lord guides us. And that's how we grow in Him. But man, that you have a plan for us. I'm telling you, and I've talked to believers that have been believers for 50 years. They know amazing things, and they don't know anything in sense. But there is so much more to know. So much more to know. Paul had received an amazing revelation from the Lord. And Paul wrote most of the New Testament, as many know. But in the book of Ephesians, he lays out such revelation and knowledge that we could be here for thousands of years and not exhausted. And that's why I say, I've talked to people that have grown in the Lord, I know so much, and yet, as we talk, I can see the sparkles in their eyes. They learn even more, and there's more to learn. But that plan is that we be all together as believers in one body, with Christ as a head, as one body with Him. That's the mystery that has been revealed. But I won't get too much into detail of that. All I can say is that trust the Lord, make a step for Him, and start discovering what you have. You never regret it. It's like finding a sunk ship in the ocean that was there for a long time, and suddenly you discover it, and it's filled with treasure. And it's all yours. That ship is huge. And the more you find, the more there is. And it's all yours. As long as we take the time to go in and recover every single little piece of gold, that's what it's like.